If everybody seems confused this morning, it's because I changed the order of service all around to fit everything in this morning. But again, it is great to have you here this morning. And this is a day of celebration. And since we are having a baptism, I felt that it was important for me to take this time to preach about baptism. Because there may be some individuals here this morning that don't know about believer's baptism. Why do we do this? Why is it important for these two young men to take this step this morning? Why is it important for their family to be here with them this morning? And so this morning, I am going to read Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. So I'm going to invite you, if you would please stand and follow along if you have your Bibles. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And this will be the passage that we will use as a base to for our time this morning. So Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. When the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And so he asked Philip to come up and to sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they had come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So this morning, my message, you may be seated. This morning, my message is entitled Believer's Baptism. And we will be looking at a variety of different passages, but using that Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, as a guide as we go through. Let me just pray before we go into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to celebrate this great occasion, to be able to be a part of this testimony that Aiden and Finn are giving of what you have already done inside them. I thank you for the family and friends that are with us. I thank you for our church family that is gathered together to be able to celebrate this time with them and to encourage them. And Lord, as we take time to look at your word, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to us, that we would truly be able to understand what you would have us to learn. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the first question, there's four questions that I want to answer with my message this morning. And the first question is, what is the purpose of baptism? What is the purpose of baptism? Why are we celebrating this morning? Well, first of all, baptism is a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a symbol. It's meant to be symbolic. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul explains what this symbol is, what it means. What is the symbol of baptism? Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." So the Apostle Paul tells us that baptism is a symbol. It symbolizes death, burial, and resurrection. In verses 3 to 4, Paul describes baptism as a visual illustration. He says, "Those of you," and he's talking to believers who have already been baptized, who have gone through the waters of baptism, and he reminds them, "When you were baptized, you were illustrating death, burial, and resurrection." He tells the believers in Rome that when they were baptized into Christ, they experienced they had already experienced the death, burial, and resurrection with Christ, but this symbol of baptism was a representation. However, it's not just any death that we're identifying with. Baptism is an identification with Christ's death, and we see that in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul clarifies whose death it is that we are representing when we are baptized. We are identifying with Christ's death on the cross. We are identifying with him being buried. We are identifying with him being resurrected. Our old life is buried and we are raised to new life. That is the symbol of baptism. Baptism is also a public demonstration of what Christ has already done within us. And that's why I think it's great that Aiden's and Finn's family and friends are here, because they are publicly announcing, they are publicly demonstrating what has already happened within them. According to Romans chapter 6 and Galatians 2, every believer has already experienced death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. We've already gone through that process when we accept Christ. Because Scripture says that when we give our lives to Christ, when we place our faith in him as Savior, that our old self is dead, that we are raised anew, that we are a new creation, that we are a new person. And so that is the symbolism that we demonstrate with baptism. We are demonstrating publicly something that has already happened. The spiritual work has already taken place at the moment of salvation. Baptism doesn't add anything to salvation. Baptism isn't an extra step towards getting to heaven. It is simply a symbol of something that's already happened. Baptism does not save us. Scripture does not teach that baptism saves. It doesn't bring us good luck or protection. It has no mystical powers. It is simply a representation. It is a symbol of something that has already happened spiritually within us. It is a public testimony of that. So who is baptism for? Who is baptism for? In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38, I believe it makes it very clear that baptism is for individuals who have already trusted Christ as Savior. Let's read Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38 again. It says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When the eunuch asked Philip what would hinder him from being baptized, Philip only gave one prerequisite." There was only one thing that Philip clarified that needed to happen beforehand. And what is that? That he must believe first. That he must be saved first. This is why we as a church don't practice infant baptism, because we believe Scripture teaches that baptism is for those who have already made the step of trusting faith, placing their faith in Jesus Christ and trusting in him. We believe that faith, belief, salvation comes first. Baptism is also for those who want to make a public demonstration of their faith. I'm not going to baptize somebody privately in their hot tub at home. It's not meant to be something to be done in private. It is meant to be done publicly. That's why I love doing it in front of the entire church, because it is something that we celebrate together as a church. It's a public testimony of what God has done in Aiden's life and in Finn's life, and we get to celebrate that together. Also, what is the biblical mode of baptism? Because I know there are churches that baptize in many different ways, and I just want to explain to you from a biblical perspective why we baptize the way that we baptize. In Scripture, baptism was always done in a large body of water. We see that example again in Acts chapter 8, which is our main passage that we're looking at this morning. Acts chapter 8, verses 38 through 39 says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." So we see in this and in every other biblical example of baptism, they go down into a body of water, and after the baptism, they come up out of a body of water. And I believe immersion coincides with the symbol of dying, being buried, and being raised again with Christ. Remember, the Apostle Paul made it clear in Romans that in baptism, we are symbolizing that we are dying with Christ, that we are buried with Christ, and that we are raised anew as a new creation, as a new creature. Well, immersion demonstrates that, symbolizes that. Being lowered towards the water represents death. We are dying with Christ. We have died with Christ. Going under the water represents burial. We've been buried with Christ. Being lifted up out of the water represents resurrection in Christ. Also, the Greek word baptize means to immerse. This was a word commonly used in the cloth dyeing industry for dipping or immersing the cloth into the dye. We also have a written record of a Greek poet who lived in 200 BC, so 200 years before Christ. And he wrote a recipe for making pickles. And in his recipe, he instructs his readers to baptize the vegetables in the vinegar solution. Now this morning, and I hope Aiden and Finn can hear me back there, but this morning we're not going to be leaving them under the water as long as you would leave the pickles. But again, it gives the picture of going under, being submerged. And finally, the final question that I would like to answer before we go into our baptism is, why is baptism important for a believer? Why is it important for Aiden and Finn to take this step? Well, first of all, Christ instructed us to do it. Where did he instruct us to do it? In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, which is commonly referred to as the Great Commission, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And finally, it demonstrates our submission to Christ. In recognizing that their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, commanded them to take that step, this morning, Aiden and Finn are demonstrating that they are submitting to him, that they are submitting to his command, that they are obeying that which our Lord and Savior has instructed them as new believers in Christ to do. And so this morning, we have the privilege, we have a wonderful opportunity to be able to witness this great occasion. And I encourage you afterwards, after the service, not only will they be baptized, but they will also be brought in as new members into our family here. And also Jared will be joining the church as well. And so I encourage you to celebrate with them afterwards. And there'll be an opportunity for you to greet them and to celebrate. But this is a glorious occasion. And for me, it's exciting to see what God is doing in their lives, and I look forward to seeing what he continues to do. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for what you're doing at Grace Baptist. We thank you for Aiden and Finn. We thank you that they have chosen to take the step of obedience to demonstrate publicly what has already happened spiritually within them, that they have died to their old selves. They have died to their sin. They have died to their old nature, that they have been buried with Christ and that they've risen anew in him. They are a new creation, a new creature. And Lord, we see that transformation happening in their lives. And so I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to continue to grow in their walk with you. I pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us as members of this church to continue to help them as they grow, as they continue in their journey. But again, thank you for this opportunity to be able to celebrate this wonderful occasion. All this we ask in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.